Psalms chapter number 51 this morning, if you would. Psalms chapter 51. I want to share with you a thought or two this morning. Hopefully it'll be a help to us. Psalms chapter 51, most of you know, is the Psalm of David. David, when he had was confronted by Nathan the prophet, David had sinned with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and David is confronted by Nathan the prophet about his sin, and David begins to confess and begins to cry out to the Lord. Psalms 51 is David's prayer. If you would, look with me, verse 1, "Have mercy on me, upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David is just plainly testifying and saying, "I was born a sinner. I was born in this world a sinner, and in sin was I conceived, and I am a sinner." The Bible says that all are sinners. Amen. Nobody's above sin. Everybody that's ever been born is born a sinner. He said, he's just testifying to that. "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, this morning, Lord, to be in your house. And I pray now, Lord, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips. Help me, Lord, to say this morning only that is needful, necessary in this place today. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit have free liberty today and work in and out of every pew and every heart. And I pray, God, you put a hedge about this place, protect us, hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, all the difficulties and all the hindrances this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd hold them back and you'd help me, Lord, to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of each individual here today. You touch hearts today, Father, we pray. And Lord, your word would go forth with great power, Father, and I pray your will be accomplished, Father, and your will be done today. And we'll praise you, Father. We'll thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' sweet, loving, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. As we look at Psalms 51, a very familiar passage of Scripture, we understand that the first 12 verses is David's plea for pardon. David had sinned with Bathsheba. David had committed this great sin. And listen, he had tried to cover that up, tried to hide that for a little over a year's time from 2 Samuel chapter 11 to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We understand through the Scriptures that, listen, as David was trying to cover that sin and hide that sin and continue on with his life, with sin in his life, David finally was confronted by David the prophet. And thank God for men that still preach on sin and confront us with sin. Amen. And David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan begins to tell him, you know, "David, you art the man. Thou art the man, David. You have sinned." And David says in Psalms 32, you go back and read in Psalms 32, and David begins to confess that he was drying up on the inside. And listen, he was in drought. He just didn't have what he used to have. And we understand as we read the plea of David that David begins to cry out to the Lord, and he says to God that he wants him to have mercy upon him and blot out all of his transgressions and wash him thoroughly from his sins and cleanse him and help him to get back to where he once was. As we study and look at these verses, we see that David had sinned against God, and David had lost something that he once had when he was in close fellowship with the Lord. As we look at these verses, we find that David says in verse number 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Now, David was saying to the Lord, "Help me to have joy and to hear joy and gladness. I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear these words. I need to be rejoicing once again because I am so broken over this sin." Let me say to you this morning, there's one thing that's lacking in our day, and that is brokenness over sin. Can I get an amen right there? We're living in a day where there's no brokenness over sin. Now, a lot of times we look at everybody else and we look at the world and we look at the way the churches are going and the way people are doing and we get broken over other people's sins and we get brokenhearted and we think, man, our world's in a mess and our world is in a mess, amen. And we look at our president and our leadership and we think, man, the sins of our leaders and the sins of all those people in office and our president's so wicked and he's a sinner and he needs to get saved, and that's the truth. He does need to get saved. But we're often so guilty of looking at everybody else and everybody else's sin instead of like David. David here finally came to himself as the prophet began to preach to him and said, "David, thou art the man. You're the one that has to sin." And David comes before God realizing he was a sinner and what he had done. He knew in his heart the entire time that he was a sinner and he had committed that sin. He just tried to cover it up. We're living in a day and hour where a lot of people try to cover up their sin. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. People like to cover up their sin and make everybody think that everything's okay. But David here is confronted with his sin and he comes before God and he says, "God, it's you that I've sinned against and it's you only." Verse number 4, he says, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." David begins to talk to the Lord and said, "God, it's not my brother that I've sinned against. It's not my mother. It's not my father. It's not my wife, my husband. It's not my aunts and uncles. But God, it's you and it's you only that I have sinned against." We're living in a day and hour where everybody wants to blame everybody else and talk about everybody else. But whenever it comes time for us to look in the mirror, boy, we don't want to do that. We like to cover up ourselves, make ourselves look good. Hey, everything's okay. David was the king, and David was there before all of Israel, and he wanted everybody to think that everything was okay in his life. Not only David sinned with Bathsheba, but he sinned in having her husband killed. Many other things we could get into about David and what he done, but I don't want to focus on that this morning. As much as I want to focus on this, David was praying and pleading with the Lord. And David says, "I was born a sinner. I am a sinner because I was born in sin, and I'm subject to sin." And we all are. Amen. We're born sinners in this world, and we're subject to sin because we're born in sin, and we live in a world of sin, and we're all subject to sin. We have to keep in mind that who we are. Amen. We're God's children. We're saved by the grace of God. And as I was talking about this morning in Sunday school, we're to let our light shine before the world and keep ourselves clean and pure and away from sin so our lights can shine before others. Find as we study the life of David, his light had diminished. His light had not went all the way out, but it had diminished and he wasn't an effective Christian. Amen. He wasn't doing anything for God. The Bible says in Psalms 32, David confessed and he says, "I'm in drought. I'm drying up because of this sin." We find sin in our life and it causes us to begin to dry up. We're not excited. We're not joyous as we was when we was first saved. David says in verse number 12, David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David did not lose his salvation. Understand that with me this morning. David did not lose his salvation, but what David did lose was that joy that he once had. Whenever sin enters into the world, or enters into our world, let me say it that way, whenever we commit a sin and we sin against God, we begin to dry up and we begin to lose the joy that we once had. Let me use myself this morning as an example. I was saved as a young man, 12 years old, 13 years old, Listen, my mom and dad separated when I was 12 years old. And for the longest time, I thought it was my fault. Man, that's why I have such a burden for young people today. Young people need somebody to tell them that God loves them. And listen, everything in the world's not their fault. Amen? But I thought for a long time that it was my fault. Listen, I remember the day whenever I went to church, I was sitting on the Baptist pew, and the Holy Ghost came by and convicted me of my sin and saved me as a young man. Man, I remember that day. I'm telling you, it makes me want to shout and rejoice that I know there was a day and a time, hallelujah, when Jesus Christ passed by my way and I accepted Him as my Savior. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not because of what I've done, but because of what God done and what Christ has done, I know that I'm saved, born again, child of God. Amen. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. The devil can throw everything he's got at me. I know, according to the Word of God, I'm a saved, born again, child of God. Amen. That's shouting grand. Amen. But as a young man, I was a teenage boy, and I was joyous, and I wanted to tell everybody that I got saved. But as a teenager, all them other teenagers didn't want to hear what I had to say. They didn't want to know about the salvation that I had experienced. They didn't want to know about the God that I was going to serve. They didn't want to hear those things. And trying to be fitting in with those that crowd and trying to be popular in school like all teenagers try to do. I wasn't real popular no way because I was a dumb redneck and I enjoyed being that way. But listen, I tried to fit in with somebody. I want to fit in with somebody, but there was nobody there to fit in with. So I find myself in later years as a teenager when I was 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, I begin to run with the wrong crowd. I'm looking for somebody that I can fit in with. And I find some guys that they don't go to church and live like they're supposed to. Occasionally they may go. And I find myself running with that crowd. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. I run with that crowd as a teenage boy and I find myself getting away from that what I once knew as joyous and wonderful in my salvation. I begin to find other things that's taking me away from that. I find myself missing church. I find myself making excuses not to go and to lay out of church and thank God for a godly mama, amen, that prayed for me, amen, and made me go. But I'd find myself later in those teenage years making excuses not wanting to go. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. I began to run with that wrong crowd and I began to sin against God. I began to experience with drugs and alcohol and things of that nature that I had no business dabbling in, amen. I was a saved, born again child of God and I had no business getting into that. But that deception of Satan came and he put that before me between that and the truth as we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Satan had deceived me to think that that's okay, that'll please your flesh. And if you go down this road, son, you'll have plenty of pleasures and enjoyment in life. And listen, I fell for that lure. I fell for that. As a teenage boy, I started drinking and running with the crowd that drank and done drugs. And listen, we did all those things and I'm not giving Satan credit for it this morning. I'm ashamed of some of the things I let my stupid self do. But thanks be unto God, it's only by His grace I'm here this morning. I can promise you that. It's been many times I ought to been dead. But God spared me. God had a purpose in my life. And God spared me from those things. But what I want you to understand this morning, when all those things started to take place, I'd sinned against God. And I'd gotten away from God. And I had lost what I once had in the joy of my salvation. I'd lost that. I understand as I read about David and David's confession, man, I understand. I didn't do the thing that David did, but I did sin and I did get away from God. And I know what that feels like to lose the joy of your salvation. Somebody can help me right there. I know you've been there. Amen. I've gotten away from that. I've sinned against God. I got away from that joy that I once experienced and my life is drying up. I felt like I was just going to just waste away to nothing because I was so far away from God. One day there was a preacher that began to preach, hallelujah, preached on sin. And I realized I was wrong. And I realized what I'd done. And I fell down on the altar. My wife and I went to the altar. We was already married. And I don't even know if our first child was here or on the way. I'm not real sure about where Stephanie was in that picture. But listen, we was already married. And I was still trying to hide that mess and trying to cover things up. The stuff that I was doing. But the preacher preached the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost convicted me. And I fell on the altar. And I began to plead with God as David did. And I said, oh God, forgive me of my sin. Let me say to you this morning, God is a God that forgives. He's a God that loves us. Amen. He forgives us. He knows. Listen, He knows whenever we've done wrong. He knows when we've sinned. But I confessed my sin. I fell on the altar. My wife and I both fell on the altar and was praying and pleading with God. And I said, God, I am so sorry for the sins I've done. And God forgave me. Now listen, that sounds really good. I repented and I got things right with God. But you know what God did for me? Whoop, I'm about ready to shout. God restored unto me what I had lost. God had restored unto me those things that I had lost while I was out in sin. I was so dried up on the inside. I didn't care if I went to church or not. I didn't care that the preacher came to the house and wanted to talk. I didn't care what he had to say. I didn't want to hear that. I'd gotten so far away from the relationship and the fellowship of God. I was still saved. I was still a child of God. But I was so far away from that fellowship, I didn't care what nobody had to say. So wrapped up in my sin. I want to say to you this morning, there's a lot of people that way today. Somebody help me right there. We've gotten so far out in sin. And no doubt that David, when he committed that sin with Bathsheba, that act of passion that he had, and he took those liberties with Bathsheba, and he done that thing. There's no doubt in my mind, David was no doubt thinking, after it was over with, how did I get this so far in sin? How did I get so deep in sin? That was never what I intended to do. I never intended to get so deep in sin. Over a year and a couple of months had passed, and David was still trying to cover it up, and David was dying on the inside. He was drying up. He had no joy, no happiness, and nothing to be excited about. There's a lot of people today, they're that way. They have nothing to be excited about. There's nothing that makes them happy. They're dried up on the inside. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no fellowship with God. And they could care less what God said. Here David, no doubt, was saying, how did I get so deep in this sin? How did I get so far in this sin? Sin, my friend, will take you further than you want to go. Cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen, that's good preaching right there. Sin does that to us. But here we see in David's plea for forgiveness, we see that David said, restore unto me that joy that I once had. I'm so glad that God's a restorer. Amen. He'll give you back what you once had. You won't get it without repentance and turning from that sin. Somebody help me. You won't get it from without repentance and turning from that sin. But if you repent and turn from those wicked deeds and those sins you've committed, God will restore unto you what you once had. Amen. God will give you back that joy. He'll give you back that gladness that David's talking about. And that pain that David was feeling on the inside, God will lift that burden and take that away from you if you'll confess your sin. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. It's full of filth and it's full of foul and it's full of sin. And David said, give me a clean heart. And God did that. Renew a right spirit within me. David had the wrong spirit. David was serving the Lord with the wrong spirit. Man, that's preaching in that. David was serving the Lord with the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude. He was just trying to make everybody else happy instead of God. David says, restore unto me the joy. I want to say something this morning, some things that need to be restored. I'll probably have to finish this up tonight. I won't get it all done this morning. Some things that need to be restored in our life. One of the things that needs to be restored in our life is our love. Our love needs to be restored. In the book of Revelation, in chapter number 2, let me just flip over and read this to you. In chapter number 2 of the book of Revelation, the Lord is sending a letter, amen, to the church, and the letter's written by John. Of course, you know John was the author of the book of Revelation. And he's writing a letter in chapter number 2 unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now listen to what he says. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars, and has found them liars. Verse number 3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Here he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, you have done many good deeds. You have done this thing, and you have covered your sin up, and you've done these good deeds in the name of Jesus Christ. You've done these things. You've labored and you've worked and you have not fainted in what you've been doing. But notice what he says after that. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, else I'll come unto thee quickly, remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In chapter number 2 of the book of Revelation, the Bible here says, and God is talking to the church, and we can relate this to ourselves individually, that he has somewhat against us. We've left our first love. What is that first love? You remember the day that you got saved? Man, I was on fire for God. I loved everything about the church and about the men of God, the house of God, the Word of God. I loved it. Here he says, you're doing these things. You are working and you hate those that do evil, and you're staying away from those apostles and those that try to teach false doctrine. You're staying away from that, and you're doing some good deeds. But the problem is, you have left your first love. Sin has come in and has taken you away from where you should be with God. Remember therefore, watch this now. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember the place where you got away from God. Listen, let me say to you this morning, whenever I was a teenage boy and I began to do those things, it wasn't that God left me, but it was that I had gotten away from God. And God's still where He's always been. Amen. That shouting ground. Whenever we sin and we get away from God, it's not us. Listen, it's not us, not God that has to come to us, but it's us that's got to go to God. God's still there, and He's still on the throne, and He's never left us. It's us that has left Him. And He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember the place when you sinned against God and you fell in sin. Remember that place and go back there. Y'all with me? And repent. Remember the place whence thou hast fallen. Remember when that sin came in your life. Oh, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. God says, remember the place that you first fell and sinned against God. Remember that place, wherever it was. You go and get that place in your mind. And you say, God, this is where I left you. God, this is where I failed. This is where sin came in. This is when I messed up. And God, forgive me of my sin. The Bible says, repent. Now, notice he says, if you're with me in Revelation chapter 2, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. What is that? What's the first works? Well, what's the first thing you done when you got saved? I repented of my sins. The first thing I done. That's what he says. Hey, repent. And repentance is part of, listen, confessing that stuff and getting right with God. Those are the first works, to confess our sin and plead with God to forgive us and to cleanse us and to purge us. As David said, create in me a new heart and a new spirit and a right spirit. Those things are the first works. How can I ever be used of God again after the things that I've done? Here's the answer, my friend. Get back in love with God. Get back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, man, are y'all with me this morning? Get back in love with Him. Restore that love you once had. Confess your sins. Get right with God. And listen, He will restore unto you that joy and that happiness, and you'll have what you used to have when you first started serving the Lord. Man, we've lost our first love. So many people today is out of church. Man, you can go and knock on doors all around this community, go down through the trailer park and out through these roads and knock on people's door, and you talk to them about the church. Hey, I'd like to invite you to the church. Oh, I used to go to church. You begin to talk to them and they'll tell you, hey, I used to sing in the choir and I used to run the van route and I used to work with the young people. I used to do all these things. What in the world happened to you? You fell in sin. Sin come along somewhere along the way. And you maybe somebody said something that hurts you and, or whatever the case may be, but somewhere along the way, sin entered in. There's a lot of used to's out there. Lost their first love. Don't love the house of God like they once did. Listen, I want to say to you this morning, we need to restore our love. Our love needs to be restored, first of all, for the house of God. Amen. Our love needs to be restored for Christ. We need to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We're to love the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23 of John 14, the Bible says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Need to fall back in love with Jesus. Amen. Fall in love with the Word of God. Love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. The mind's the gateway to the soul that the devil wants to destroy with. God says, love me with all your mind. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We need to fall back in love with Jesus. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, above all things, have fervent charity. Have a burning love. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that causes me to do what I do. I have so many people that stowed in the towel on God and they've quit on God because they've left that first love. Left that first love. I say to you this morning, we need to fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Christ and get back to where we was the day that we were saved. Quit looking at everybody else and their faults and their failures and say, God, it's me, God, it's me, God, it's me, as David said. I'm the one. It needs to be restored. Let's restore our love. David said in Psalms 116, verse number 1, I love the Lord. Because He heard my voice, my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I love Him because He hears me when I pray. He hears me when I pray. When I need guidance and I need help, He hears me. Our love needs to be restored for the Lord. Let me say this also, our love for the church needs to be restored. Amen. Our love for the church needs to be restored. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, very familiar verse of Scripture. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Boy, if you can't see the day approaching, you're blinded by the devil. Because the day's approaching. Amen. We need to fall in love with our church. And love the church and want to be a part of the church. And listen, I get discouraged whenever people don't show up for church. It burdens me when people don't show up for church. Now, if they're sick, I understand that. I'm not saying anything bad about someone that's sick. If they're sick, I don't want what they have, so don't bring it to me. Amen. But people that just flat lay out of church, that bothers me. And it hurts me and it burdens me, especially church members. Because it says to me, I don't really care about my church. I'm not really excited about serving the Lord. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help us. Amen. If we're not faithful to the house of God, according to the Word of God, it says I'm not really excited about serving God. There's some that don't give in their tithe to the church. You know what that says? I don't really care about the church. I'm not in love with the church. I'm in love with my pleasures and I'm in love with the things of the world more than I am with the church. That's good preaching right there. Don't go real far. Amen. It's like a lead balloon, but it's true. If you care about the church, you'll give. What keeps the church going is people that give. Amen. I love my church and I want to see the church grow and I want to see the church flourish for the cause of Christ and I'll give everything I've got to see it happen. Those will be our attitudes. Amen. It'll be that way if we love the church. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying our love needs to be restored. Our love for the Lord needs to be restored. I remember whenever Jesus saved me and I was so excited and in love with God. Sin takes us from that. Takes us away from that love we once had. And David says, Lord, forgive me. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities and create in me a clean heart. Help me to have the right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy that I once had. Need to be restored this morning. Some of the hardest work in the ministry is restoration. Some of the hardest work in ministry is the work of restoration. Restoring. Restoring what's been torn down. Restoring what's been destroyed. Burn up. We talked about the book of Ezra last week and last Sunday night, Ezra chapter number 3, where they destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city. The walls around the temple was destroyed. And listen, that brought a reproach upon the temple and upon the people of God because of what happened. It was destroyed. And the hardest work they had to do was go back and restore and rebuild what had been destroyed. With the help of the Lord, they got it accomplished. Look at the loss that they suffered. When we lose our love for the Lord, we begin to suffer loss. David lost a lot of things. David lost joy. He lost happiness. He lost his excitement. He lost his spirit. He began to have a wrong spirit. Wonder why sometimes people come to church and they're so irritable and so agitated? Because they got the wrong spirit. Sometimes people come to church for the wrong reasons. Good preaching, preacher! Amen myself. Sometimes people come to church for the wrong reasons. And they come with the wrong attitude, and therefore they have the wrong spirit. Listen, let me help you just a little bit on that thought. We come to church to worship the Lord. If we're not real careful, we'll come in here with these pews being about half empty like they are. And we'll get the wrong spirit because we think that something is wrong at the house of God because nobody's here. You be careful with that. Be careful with that. We can get the wrong attitude and have the wrong spirit when it comes time. I didn't come this morning to see everybody show up. I come to worship God. Amen. He's blessed me. Gave me a good week. Gave me a wonderful supper last night. Amen. Good friends and family to fellowship with. And we're starting this day off as the first day of the week to worship Him and praise Him for what He done last week and what He's going to do this week. I'm not worried about where everybody else is at. Yes, it burns me and it saddens me that church members are not in church. And I know what the problem is. Oh, if they would only hear. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter number 2, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, if you're not at church, how in the world are you going to hear it? Again, I understand people are sick. I understand people are bedridden, things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that just ain't here. They're just as capable as you and I to be here. There's something wrong. There's an issue. There's a problem. Sin takes away so much, and it destroys. It's a destroyer of the body. Sin, whenever it is conceived, the Bible says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. David didn't die physically, but David died spiritually. And in that spiritual death, it began to have a toll on him physically. Sin will do that to us. Is everybody with me this morning? Sin will cause us to die spiritually. And the deader we are spiritually, the more we die spiritually, it will begin to affect us physically. Heart attacks, stress, ulcers affects us physically. Amen? And so if there's sin in our life and something has taken us away from the love that we once had for the Lord, the greatest thing we can do today is confess, as David did, and said, oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all my wickedness. Restore unto me that love that I once had. Give me back what I used to have. Used to be a joy to serve the Lord. Used to enjoy going to church. Man, I hate it when I knock on people's door and they tell me those things. I used to enjoy going to church. Man, get back in there. Find where you left God at and repent of that thing and get back in the house of God. So many people today are so overtaken by sin. Sin will cause you to lose your love for God. Sin will cause you to lose your love that you had for Christ. Sin will cause you to lose your love that you had for the church. Bible says that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sin will cause that. Get away from God, get away from the church, and those pleasures and those things that Satan, those tools that Satan has in his toolbox, he can use them against us to keep us away from God. The message this morning, and I'll continue with this tonight. The message this morning is this: simply, we need some restoration. We need some restoration. We need to fall back in love with some things. Our love needs to be restored. We had a Valentine's dinner yesterday. It wasn't really for husbands and wives, it was for everybody. Love one another. Amen? We need to love one another. Church is not about fussing and fighting and feuding. That's not what church is for. Hey, we're to love each other. Amen? Love one another and fellowship with one another. If we love the Lord, then we can fellowship with Him. If we confess our sins, we can fellowship with the Lord. If we're right with God, we can fellowship with the Lord. Y'all with me? If we're right with one another, we can fellowship with one another. Amen? If there's something between us, we need to deal with that. We need to resolve that matter, get it straightened out, take it before the Lord and each other, get it resolved so we can fellowship one with another. Good preaching. Let me say this. I'm going to go out on another limb here and say this. If we're right with God and right with the Lord, we can have fellowship. Amen. If we're right with one another, our brothers and sisters in the church, we can fellowship. And listen, we can have good time of unity and fellowship together if we're right with one another. Amen. Husbands and wives, if you're not together, you don't love each other like you once loved each other. You begin to lose that fellowship. That fellowship begins to go away, and you don't have the love that you once had. Man, there's so many homes today that needs to be restored. I've been praying about having a marriage revival, marriage or home revival, and just deal with the homes and husbands and wives and families that are so destroyed because they have let things get in their way and they have lost their first love. They don't love like they used to love. Here we go. I'm just going to say it. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. Amen. When a man begins to look at somebody else's wife, as David looked at Bathsheba, somebody else's wife, David began to lust and began to want what he saw, began to desire what he saw. And he got what he wanted. Look what he lost in the process. There's so many husbands and wives, they get what they want. But then when they get it, they find what they lost in the process. I can tell you story after story after story of men in the ministry. I know of one in particular that had a $450,000 home. Brand new, just had built it. His wife and him had a ministry. And in that ministry, God was blessing tremendously. Everybody knew about their work and what they was doing, and they had a tremendous testimony. They had houses, and they had homes, and they had cars, and they had money. And listen, God was blessing them. He had it made. But it began to be like David and look and lust after something that wasn't his. He began to want something younger than his wife. I don't want to get into all those things that he began to look for. But he began to look at it and began to lust after it. And he got what he wanted. But in the process of that, he lost everything he had. He lost his home. He lost his beautiful wife. He lost his children. He lost his ministry. He lost his church that he was pastoring. He lost everything for the one thing that he desired. That's awful. But it gets worse than that. About a year after that, guess who left him? The one thing that he desired. Found somebody else, and she left him. Now he sits there all alone. Lost everything he had. He's lost it all. Boy, that's sad. That's a sad place to be. So many times people get so wrapped up in that one little thing that they so desire. The Bible says that a man that findeth a wife has found a good thing. Amen. And I thank God for my wife. Amen. My wife and I have a good relationship. We have fellowship. Whoop. And I'm glad. I hate it when my wife gets upset with me and won't talk to me. Man, I'll beg and plead and confess the things I ain't never done. Just to get her to talk to me again. She's the same way too. We have that fellowship one with another, and we have that love. And whenever we have love, we can fellowship. So many times it gets destroyed. And Satan will put things in the way that look attractive, that are enticing. David was attracted to Bathsheba. She wasn't a dog. She was a good-looking woman. She was also naked. Well, David shouldn't even have been there looking at such a thing. Let me say this, men, you'll be careful what you look at. Amen, that's good preaching right there. You don't look at that junk, you won't lust after that stuff. Amen. But the devil put that there before him. It wasn't something hideous to do that, to look at. It wasn't something that was hard to look at. It was easy. And the devil makes it so easy for us to lose our first love. It is easy. And David said, restore unto me. We need to be restored in our love for Christ. We need to be restored for our love for the church. We need to be restored for the love of our spouses. Amen. I'm so sick of problems in families and homes, it breaks my heart. If you would just get back to the Word of God. If you would put God first in your home, put God first in your marriage, all those things will work themselves out. God will bless a home. God will do it. But so many times, people will run from God, and they'll run to the devil and the things of the world, and allow that love for the family and love for the home be destroyed. One in four American homes, American marriages, 1 in 4 American marriages, American adult marriages, end in divorce. 1 in 4. It's amazing how many children today live with a stepmom or stepdad. It's amazing today in our day that children live with a second stepmom and stepdad. 75% of divorces or marriages that end in divorce, 75% of them end up going through a second divorce. What in the world's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. They left God out of the equation. We need to be restored. Our love needs to be restored. I don't know where you're at this morning. If you don't have anything going on in your life as far as sin and you're close to God, you ought to just come and thank Him and praise His holy name. That Satan hadn't enticed you and drawn you away. The Bible says in the book of James that man's drawn away by his own lust. God never does that. God never does that. Satan puts things there and we're drawn away by our own lust. We're drawn to that because of our sorry, rotten flesh. If you're not in that situation, you've not experienced that, you ought to thank God that Satan hadn't lured you away. Praise be unto God. Amen. If your love for God's word ought to be, then praise Him. If your love for the church's word ought to be, then praise Him. If your love for your spouse's word ought to be, then praise the Lord for that. But if it's not, deal with it. If the Bible says, go back to whence it was, repent, and do the first works. Remember what happened, confess it, get right with God, repent of your sins, and let God create a new heart and a new love for God and Him. God will do it. God will do it. And if everything's all right in your house, then pray for those that it's not all right in their house. There's folks that come to our church. There's even members of our church that's struggling in their home. You know what they need? They don't need people talking about them and running them down. They need people praying for them. Pray that God can intervene and they would listen to the Word of God and they would follow God and things would work out for them. They need help. They need prayer. Amen.